Well, I want to talk today about one of the most important themes in the spiritual life, namely prayer. Here's the first observation about prayer. Studies have shown that everybody prays. Even atheists say that they pray. You could almost say that the human being is best characterized as the animal who prays. So what is prayer? Well, go back to John Damascene, very early figure, who famously characterized prayer as the raising up of the mind and heart to God. It's a beautiful definition. Good. But it probably is too one-sided, because I think what that can sound like is that it's all our business. You know, here we are raising our minds and hearts to God. It's our quest for God. Well, that might be true of many other philosophies and religions, but biblical religion is not primarily about our quest for God. It's about God's quest for us, right? So I would say, once you see the primacy of grace, prayer is God's addressing of us. That's why Herbert McCabe, the great Dominican theologian, says that whatever is good and true and right in our prayer is the Holy Spirit already praying in us. Think of even a petitionary prayer. You know, when you're asking God for something, authentic petitionary prayer is the Holy Spirit prompting you to ask for what He wants to give, you know? So the primacy of the Lord's involvement. So both sides are important, but I think the divine side is more important. You know, if I were to sum it up, I would say prayer is a conversation among friends. So it's our friendship with God expressed now in this lively conversation. So in light of all that, I want to make just some really simple recommendations about prayer to improve your life of prayer. Here's the first one. Take the time. So many years ago, Thomas Merton, one of the great spiritual writers of the last century, was asked by an interlocutor, what's the one thing I can do to improve my prayer life? And he responded with that phrase. He said, take the time. So before you get to techniques and, you know, theological insights and all that, take the time every day to converse with God. It's the most important step. Now, it might mean first thing in the morning. It might be a good time. Like for me, that's a better time for prayer. I do a holy hour right after I wake up in the morning. Some people, it might be the end of the day. You know, that's a better, more prayerful time for them. Maybe it's in the car. I've often recommended the car can be a good place to pray. When you're usually by yourself. If you live where I do now in the LA area or any of our major cities, you're probably stuck in traffic a lot. So it's a little monastic cell. You've got space and time to pray. But the main thing is you take the time every day. Here's a second dimension now, second recommendation about prayer. Prayer is the act of finding the center. So our lives are busy, they're complicated, we're about many things, right? This and that, this appointment, then this. I'm leaping from idea to idea, obligation to obligation. Is there something that draws all this together as one? Is there some central place around which all of this complexity revolves? To pray, in many ways, I think, is to find that place. So again, Merton said, to pray is to find the place in you where you are here and now being created by God. It's a lovely idea. Find that still point around which the whole of your life ought to revolve. That's what happens when you pray. When Kierkegaard, the philosopher, said that the saint is someone whose life is about one thing, he might have phrased that as the saint is someone who prays, see, who's regularly found the center. Here's a third dimension of prayer, I think. To pray is to speak to God with honesty. One of the problems in the spiritual order is we tell God what we think God wants to hear. We hide behind a lot of pious language that we think is appropriate, you know, for prayer. And again, I have nothing against pious language, and it serves a very important purpose. But at the heart of prayer, I think, is a clear and honest communication. Think of a friendship. You know, if you're with a friend, but you never tell that friend or your spouse what you really feel, what you're really thinking, what's really bugging you, what's really on your mind, well, that's not going to be much of a friendship, right? So with God, speak with honesty about what's troubling you, what's worrying you, What's bugging you? What's delighting you? Talk about the messy sides of your life. You know, we've all got them, and usually we mask that with other people. We don't share that. Well, God knows anyway, right? I mean, God knows everything about everything. So why are you bothering masking it from God? Let Him know about your guilt. Let Him know about your sin. Let Him know how you're confused, etc. I love that famous story about a lady who'd been in the hospital for many, many months. Her husband was dying. And she went through weeks and months of this terrible, you know, agony with the husband. And so one day she came outside the hospital, and it was a Catholic hospital dedicated to Our Lady. And there was a statue of Mary out in front. And the woman just came out, and she began picking up clods of dirt and throwing them at the statue of Mary. And they went to stop her, you know, the security. And then one of the chaplains, who was a sister, held them back and said, "Don't stop her. She's praying." And I think that's dead right. You know, here's a woman who was a woman of faith. She had brought her husband to this Catholic hospital. She was a believer, but she was expressing her great anger, frustration. And you think she's out of line? Read the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with people telling God how angry and frustrated and upset they are. So speak with honesty to God, I think, is a great way to pray. Fourthly and relatedly, listen attentively. So it's a conversation, right, between you and God. If it's one way, if you're doing all the talking, whether it's in formal language or in this emotional expression, well, that's not much of a conversation, right? I'm going to go say my prayers. You know, I mean, I'll say that. And the trouble is, then it's just this one-sided. I'm just telling God everything. Do I listen to God? Do I listen to what He says back? Now, I mean, does God speak directly? Yeah, sometimes, in rare cases, the lives of the great saints. Think of Mother Teresa, who famously heard this voice of Jesus, and then didn't hear it for 50 years, but she heard this voice calling her to serve the poorest of the poor. A lot of the saints experience that. But normally, God speaks in much more indirect ways, right? It might be through the scripture that you're reading. So when I pray the office, for example, as a priest, well, you're reading the Psalms. Is it you just expressing something, or is God speaking to you through the Psalms? Think of someone like Ignatius of Loyola, who makes us very attentive to our own thoughts and feelings as we meditate, as we read the scripture. So what am I feeling as I read that passage? What's that doing to me? Am I feeling desolation or consolation, to use Ignatius' language? Could I construe that as God speaking to me somehow? Yeah. Here's another exercise. Could I even imagine what Jesus would say? Now, I know it's a little bit delicate, because that can sound like just like projection, but you know, based on our knowledge of Scripture and the tradition and all that, can we, as we pose a question to the Lord, can we really imagine pretty accurately, well, what He would say to us in response to that? Can that be a way of discerning the voice of God? A lot of different methods, too, we could talk about. But you speak, but you also listen. And then relatedly, and finally, the role of silence in prayer. You know that famous adage of Mother Teresa, she talks about the spiritual life. She begins with silence. You know, silence gives rise to prayer, and prayer gives rise to faith, and faith gives rise to love, and love to service. I think that's the way she does it. But what's interesting is what comes first is silence. We have a really noisy culture, and with our machines now, we are constantly stimulating ourselves, right, with words and communication and ideas. We're talking to each other all the time and listening to each other all the time. Do we sit in silence, allowing God to speak in that space? Think, of course, of Elijah here, you know, with the wind and the fire and the earthquake and all that comes by, but he doesn't hear God and all that. But the tiny whispering voice. Well, you can't hear a tiny whispering voice unless you become silent. How many of the religious orders are predicated upon silence? I think of one of the most memorable spiritual moments of my life was visiting La Grande Chartreuse in the south of France, really in like the Alps area of France. And that was the place founded by St. Bruno. It's the mother house of the Carthusians, an order that's radically devoted to silence. Now, most of us can't be Carthusians, but I think we can learn a lot from this attitude. You know, Thomas Aquinas said the will has two basic moves. It seeks the good that's absent. And so, you know, we see it and we go after it. But the second move of the will is it sits in the good that it possesses. So when you have the good, your will rests in it. See, and that's kind of a silent move, if you want. It's a savoring move. I think we're pretty good at the first one. We're seeking all these goods. But then once we get them, what do with them? We restlessly go on to something else. Silence, silence. When you have the good of God, a silent savoring of that good is key. That's a part of prayer, you know. That's why, you know, I mentioned the holy hour before, and that's been revived, thank God, in recent years. Because, you know, as a priest, I have to pray the office, and I can rattle through my prayers. But if I don't take the time, there's number one, right? Don't take the time to listen in silence, then it is just a lot of rattling off of words. So, silence. I'll close with a couple of recommendations. I love the holy hour. So, if you can, do it. That means a dedicated hour every day to prayer, this conversation with God. If you can, find the time, take the holy hour. Prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, that also has been revived in recent years. It kind of fallen away after the council, but I think now it's made a great comeback. It's revived many parishes. Spend time before the Blessed Sacrament with these five recommendations in mind. And then one of my favorites, the Jesus Prayer, right? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the whole prayer, but then repeat it. Breathing in with the first half, breathing out with the second half. Letting that prayer become part of the rhythm of your very body. I pray the Jesus Prayer now every day. It's an important part of my own meditation. It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't accomplish a lot. It's very simple, calming, centering prayer that draws you back into silence. It does all those things, you know. So, take those five recommendations. Follow the deep instinct in your heart that is leading you to pray, and do it.